You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Today I'm talking to Pam Downing from Reading Talking News. Hi Pam, how are you? Thank you for coming on to RNIB Connect Radio today.
Hello everybody, I'm absolutely fine and it's absolutely delightful to join you.
Can you tell me a bit about Reading Talking News and how it all started?
Yes, I certainly can. Right, well, it started by a group of volunteers in the 70s who decided to create a Reading local talking news, and there was quite a lot of work that went on during the 70s, and originally it was recorded on cassette tapes in one of the people's front rooms. That's how they started off, and gradually they got proper copiers, proper equipment, and it grew and grew and grew, and eventually it was taken away and recorded in the local radio station. But we have had several moves since then, and right now we have switched to USB sticks, as I think most talking newses have, and we actually record from Walford Hall, which is owned by Berkshire Vision. We have our own studio there because one of our volunteers from quite a long time ago left us a bequest, and that was used to build us a proper studio so we can keep all our things there and we don't have to pay any rent.
How long have you been involved in Reading Talking News and what is your role within the newspaper?
Well, I started with Reading Talking News in 1985. And you'd be quite interested to know that in 1984, I had an acoustic neuroma, which was large, and the person who did it saved my life. And when I had recovered, I knew that I could never repay the money. I could repay it by giving my time to other service. And so I looked to see who needed volunteers. And it was actually Reading Talking News that wanted volunteers. And so I volunteered with a neighbour. I was too nervous to go on my own because I've got quite a lot of facial problems. And I was very nervous about it. But I then worked with them for, I think probably 7 or 8 years. I stopped doing it. But then when I retired in 2000, I came back. And this time I came back as a person who worked on the copying team, where we copied little tapes as they were then. And I was also a reader. And before very long, I was an editor as well. And I joined the committee because I volunteered to make the rota for the readers. And on the committee, I then became vice chair. And then last year, I was actually chair. So I'm now currently chair of Reading Talking News.
How many volunteers do you currently have? And how many listeners are there as well?
Well, it's quite interesting. I'll do the listeners first. So when I first started, there were between 250 and 300 listeners that we sent out the tapes to. Now we only send out to between 50 or 60 listeners because they also listen on our smart speaker and they listen also on the computer. So we don't actually know how many people listen from that. And we're looking at ways that we could possibly count how many extra listeners we have. Because we know there are certain people who listen to all the talking newses, not just the one in their area. But there's no really good way we have at the moment of doing it. The volunteer list changes. I can only say that we've got at the moment 4 producers. So they're doing roughly 1 session per month. Some of them 2. We've got 5 editors, and then we've got a range of people who copy. And then in addition to that, so the editors read. Right, there's probably about another 12 readers, plus I say the editors and the producers who do read in emergencies, but most of them would prefer to be on the technical. And then we've probably got an equal number who work on the copying side, and they work in teams of 3, and we work in teams of 4 on the readers.
Can you tell me about the importance of having volunteers and what type of training they get when they first join Reading Talking News?
Right, it's very important to have volunteers because we can't possibly pay anybody because we don't actually raise money as such. We're not involved in any type of fundraising. Usually they are inspired because somebody in their family or one of their friends has sight loss or is sight impaired, and they actually realise how important it is to do that. And we do have a lot of really grateful messages from our listeners because they feel that we're actually in their living room and we share jokes with them and laugh with them. And it's like having a voice that's actually a people, familiar people in your room once a week. So that's really important. So the producers, first of all, that's quite a technical role. So what they do is they come in, they observe a session, and then they work with a sort of shadow, an existing producer. And the existing producer also then spends some time with them on their own. And once they're confident of what they've got to do and they can fly solo, that's what they do. So that's quite technical and that takes a bit longer. But the coffeeers don't do anything. We always invite volunteers to come along to watch the sessions they're interested in. So if they want to read, they come along to a recording session. If they want to copy, they go along and watch a copying session. That makes them aware of what they've got to do. If it's an editor, I quite often am involved in this, so I would actually invite the editor to one of my preparation sessions and show them how I would cut the articles out ready to be read, how I select them, and what I need to cross out on the articles. So they've got training in that way. And usually it's people who are pretty confident of doing it. People who read have no training at all. They come along and watch. We always give them a little voice test and the microphone, because on one occasion one person came along and when they had to do the test of just reading in the microphone, she couldn't do it. She was too terrified and in fact didn't volunteer with us. And so it's really quite important that they understand that you have to read in a microphone, where you have to be positioned to read in a microphone, of course, and to not read too quickly. But most people who come along are quite motivated and they actually really want to learn what they're doing.
How can people listen to Reading Talking News or simply get in touch?
If they in Reading, there are quite a lot of different ways that people are referred to us. Obviously, there are the personal referrals of people in a family who have actually got a family member who've got, I don't know, macular degeneration or diabetes problems, which of course problems with their eyes. And they obviously would look on the web and say, I wonder what's available. So we get individual people, but Reading Borough Council also refer a lot of people to us. And then also Berkshire Vision give us referrals. So I think those are the sort of main ways that come in. And they're usually the people who are the older end of the age range who aren't computer literate. And so they get their wallets posted to them and their memory sticks inside that.
Thank you so much, Pam, for coming on to RNIB Connect Radio to talk about Reading Talking News.
That's all right, Jennifer. It's a great pleasure. And I hope that we've given you some insight into what we do.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.